Okay, Myrna Mucinic Johnson.
Bill Mucinic, Bill Jr.
Leonard Mucinic.
Sandra Mucinic Coleman.
Bill and Kay Mucinic.
Bill Mucinic and Catherine.
Catherine. Okay, Catherine.
William and Catherine Mucinic.
And what year did they get to Canada?
He came in 1913 from Latvia. Yeah. She was born in Kotzit, Alberta. She was Scottish, yeah.
Do you know where in Latvia your dad was born?
Riga.
Ventspils?
Ventspils.
Was it Ventspils where he was born?
Yeah, here, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so they came over on the Kursk in 1913, I understood.
Yeah. They had measles on board ship. Some of the passengers died, and my grandmother's sister-in-law, they were together as a family, and she passed away on board ship and was buried at sea.
And you say they. Who was in the group?
That would be my grandmother, her three sons, and
her sister-in-law,
and her
three children.
And your grandmother's name was?
Carolyn.
According to that write-up of Uncle Ernie's, Ulrich was with them.
No, Ulrich and Frederick, grandpa and
his brother were already here.
They did talk about the one aunt dying on the ship.
Yeah, that was Ulrich's wife.
It must have been a Russian ship of some type, because they said that the crew was very, that's in here.
Yeah, the Russian sailors.
They were very
talked
friendly.
About the Russian sailors, and they said the Russian sailors were very kind to them.
Very kind, yeah.
On the way over, because Uncle Ernie talks about them going to the kitchen and getting another meal from the sailors.
Didn't say much about the trip. And when they landed in Montreal, I never heard anything about getting on a train or anything like that.
They said it was a very rough voyage. And in that writing, they remember seeing the icebergs.
When they got close to Newfoundland.
When they got close to Canada.
Dad had the measles when he arrived in Canada, because Uncle Ernie always used to tease him that he carried him into Canada on his back, because he carried Dad down the gangplank on his back because he was too sick to walk.
Montreal.
And then how from Montreal did they arrive in Alberta? Was Alberta the destination?
By train. Grandmother was dropped off the train at Gainford, which is on the south shore of Lake Isle, with her children and her sister-in-law's children. And somebody came across the lake in a boat to meet them. She probably was dropped in the middle of the bush, scared out of her wits, out of her mind.
And actually,
I don't know who came to meet her. Mm-hmm. Ulrich, perhaps?
I don't know who came to meet her.
Maybe the two.
But they were a long way away from the farm, because right across the lake from Gainford was where the Masseys lived, on Lake Isle.
Yes.
Not at that time, mm-hmm. but that's and the farm was about 12 miles down the road from there.
Bill, how old was Bill when he came over?
Four years old.
It's in here, yeah.
He was born in April 27th, 1909.
Ernie was 10 and Bill was 4 when they came.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fred was her husband.
As it says in this, Fred came over a year earlier. And then got the family. He worked in the post office in Edmonton until he got enough money to bring them over.
Do you know the reason why he left Latvia? Was there a reason?
He was subversive.
He was in the underground.
Strike that. They had to leave.
They were forced to leave the country. And that's why they came to
Russia.
Canada
was trying to populate it to get rid of the Latvian culture. Because
I heard he was in the underground over there.
That's what Harvey said, yeah.
Yeah,
both he and Ulrich.
So
they were brothers.
Yeah, they both were. So the underground,
they would have been against the Russians, so
yeah.
No, they wouldn't have been.
They wouldn't have been in the Russian military, no. But whatever, the underground was probably a Latvian type of a resistance.
That would be a resistance movement. Yeah.
Whether they had to sneak out or not, we don't know. We don't know those things.
He came in 1912 and then brought the family over in 1913.
Did he have a house set up on Lake Isle for them yet?
He must have.
He probably had a log cabin. That was probably the one that burned down, and that was on the farm.
Mm-hmm. Because they could get their enticement to Western Canada was you could get 160 acres for $10.
Yeah.
So that's what brought them here. Canada, I think, was it, because they got as far away from Latvia as they could, and I think Canada was
as far. When they landed in Canada, and they kept going west, because they wanted to get as far away from Latvia.
When they came west, I always used to say they got in the bush as far away from Russia as they could be, so they couldn't be found.
Letter does.
My understanding is that in the 1800s, nobody in Latvia had a last name. That you were Frederick of whatever estate. Then when the feudal system ended, they picked their own last name, and most people chose a name that was the trade that they were in, which is apparently what Michnik is. He was a barrel maker or cooper, and that's my understanding of where it came from.
I believe it was M, isn't it in that letter that came? I believe it was M-U-C-I-N-E-K-S.
And why did they change it? Do you know why?
I don't know. I would suspect they thought it would be spelled easier. I don't know why.
It seems to me it was Musenik's.
I think the old spelling was probably easier than what they changed it to, but
yeah,
I don't know why they did.
I will have an opinion on that, but I do believe when they came here that the immigration made it so that it was easy to do, that made sense to whatever, and they...
Whoever was registering them when they came into the country.
The best that they could understand what it was.
So immigration probably, they probably said it's Musenik's, and immigration wrote it down.
They may have used phonetics.
Musenik's maybe.
You know, out of the Latvian language, to make it sound English. Yeah. I don't know.
What did your parents, or your father, I suppose, what did they tell you about Latvian history as children? Did you learn much about that?
No.
Very little. It was a horror situation, so they didn't talk about it.
Uncle Carl told me one time, he came up to White Court, and he was talking about what it was like for them back in Latvia. And my grandmother, he talked about my grandmother, who was his mother, and he said that she had told him about an experience that when she was young, the Russian army had come into their house and taken her brother, I believe, out. And this was in the middle of the night. They just came into the house and took the brother out and bayoneted him into the ground in front of the family. And
they left behind a horror, and they didn't talk about it very much.
They didn't talk about it much. And that was the only thing he told me other things, but I just remember that because that was so horrifying. And he said that... And that was when Grandma was just a young girl.
Like, I remember Grandma saying how they all had to have smallpox vaccinations. And
where they lived in Latvia, my mom or Grandma must have told Mom about, because it was a really mild climate. They had fruit trees, and it was warm there on the Baltic Sea.
I can hear you.
Yeah.
And she said Grandma thought she'd come to hell when she got to Canada. But they did live on the sea, so Ventspils were nice, I suppose so.
And did they bring anything with them when they packed up and left? I mean, they had time.
Brought
to
the spinning wheel.
Spinning wheel.
Spinning wheel. Grandpa probably would have brought his blacksmith, blacksmithing tools.
5 pounds of rye.
They bought some grain to plant.
Rye grain from Latvia, right. For her to plant.
To plant on the
farm. Isn't there a story in that history book about Grandpa planting this rye and taking it to an exhibition
seed
and winning a prize for it?
And winning a prize for this rye seed.
Yeah. That would have been the exhibition in Edmonton, I think.
I would imagine they had some tools, because he hewed all the logs for the house that was originally built there, so he would have probably had that type of axes, saws, and stuff like that. Because he cleared all the land by hand. There was no machinery to clear the land.
And he was, his log cabins, that he was very skillful. Mm-hmm. I mean,
the house that he built was very Russian. You know, it had that Dutch end on it.
And then at one point, that house burnt down.
It wasn't that house that burnt down. It was one before.
The first
one. That one was taken apart. That one was big, made out of big squared logs.
The first one that they came to burnt down.
That one was a replacement.
And
would have been before our memory.
Before our time.
But Mom telling me that Grandpa, in order to kind of make it up to Grandma, he went to Edmonton and brought her home a sewing machine.
Then others, like you say, she rescued the spinning wheel.
Well,
and
she
probably didn't rescue much.
She used to card wool and spin. We used to stand there and watch her making yarn, and she used to knit our socks and knit our mitts and knit our couple very basic.
She did a lot of crocheting. She would take a picture, and she would crochet it. She was, remember, she just a picture out of
she
a
she loved bright colors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bright colors.
And she dyed all her own wool with natural dyes.
I can remember you sitting there with that foot going up and down and that wheel spinning and the, and stretching it out and making the yarn, balls and balls of yarn. Yep.
Brown yarn was made, she made a dye out of onion skins. That was the brown, the brown. Well,
I used to like to watch her spin yarn.
Yeah. And our first home was not very far from their home.
What's the next quarter section
to the their land was attached.
So we had a path through the woods to Grandma's house.
Yeah, we did.
The shortcut, we called it.
For the one that we,
it was closer to Grandma and Grandpa's house.
Yeah. It was the next quarter, wasn't it?
It was in the next quarter north. It was, I don't remember much about it.
It had a yellow linoleum floor because I remember crawling on it in the summertime and seeing a snake slithering across it. I couldn't walk because I was on my hands and knees watching
the
snake.
We used to board the school.
I remember you sitting on a
house.
Bee there, too.
We used, that house is where we used to board the school teacher for that first school. The log school and also the second. That second school was closed in 19, what year?
That's when we moved into
48.
45.
45, yeah. Anyway, we boarded the school teachers for those schools at our that original first home.
Can you tell me a bit about the school teachers? You boarded some of them? And
I don't even know where they came. Where would Mr. Breen have come from?
He was English.
He was very English.
Very English, so he must have come from England.
He made his life miserable.
He could have been a revenuer from English, I'm not sure.
Us kids made his life miserable. But Mr. Breen, I remember Mr. Breen. There was a lady before that, and then there was Lila Johnson.
And that was when we were on the farm that was attached to beside Grandpa and Grandma's.
Mm-hmm. And that's, we always had a telephone, because Dad...
We always did, yeah.
Yeah, because Dad was part of the group in that area
Our ring was one long and a short. A long ring and a short ring. Because it was a party life.
The railway originally came through Darvel. And when they changed it south by Wobman there, then the old station house, which...
Lila Vera lived in.
Not Lila and Vera, McDonald's. Bud and Joan lived
Bud
in.
Bud and Joan.
But we got the telephone out of the old station.
That's right, the old station house. That was our phone,
Did Grandpa work on the rail line, building that railroad?
I don't know.
Not that I'm aware of. But when they came there, was the railway down south by Wobman, or was it in Darvel?
It came through Gainford.
Gainford, okay.
It came through Gainford.
It had been changed,
They talked about the trains coming down through on the old railroad grade, though, I seem to recollect.
So tell me about how your mom and dad met. We touched on that a little bit earlier, but they met here in Alberta.
Yes.
They did, yeah. I don't know how they met.
Well, they moved from Concert up to Darvel. I mean, I guess
everybody was in that
during the drought, that was in the 30s, yeah.
I'm guessing that they met at some of their infamous dances.
They probably did, yeah.
I don't know whether they called the Dirty 30s.
Because there was, it was Mackenzie that made Moonshine, and that was part of their dances, apparently.
Mackenzie's and McDonald, what was his name? Adam McDonald. Old Adam McDonald.
And that's what they partied with?
I guess so, because the community center would be the hall. That's probably how they met.
They would all, everybody would, they would come from miles and miles around to go to those dances. My dad on his bicycle. And
your mom was a farm girl, or?
Mm-hmm. Her last name was Campbell. Her family came from more from
school. Uncle Ed, his youngest brother, courted one of my mother's sisters as well, but they never married. She married, they met the Woolard twins, and that was the end of that.
There was a society, yes.
Yeah.
There was a caste system of sort, and they were all white Anglo-Christians. So... You know, were they Presbyterians, morbid Presbyterians is what they were. They must have gone united or something like that, because there was no Lutheran churches or anything like that.
Not in our time, there wasn't.
Not in our time, but
if they wanted religion, it would have been
the Presbyterian. But I don't think any one person was more than...
I don't remember them ever saying. I don't remember them ever... Everybody seemed to be assimilated into one community.
Well, where our parents used to party was with McDonald's and McCrimmon's.
And they were all neighbors.
They're all neighbors.
They were all neighbors.
So there was no...
And the Latvians all lived the other way down...
There was a total mixture. There wasn't any culture separation, really. No. Because they were United or Presbyterian or whatever, mm-hmm. they were quite anti-Catholic, if you wanted to go below the surface. Yeah. Very anti-Catholic. Because Lax and Dan, where Father Lacombe had a settlement, that's where the Métis and the... that came, and there was a caste system there.
Yeah.
They were looked down upon, you know.
But they came together as a community, and I think it had a lot to do with the time when they came, because it was in the dirty 30s, and my mom always said that there was a drought where they lived, and so they headed north looking for water, and my mom always said they stopped at the first mud hole that they came to, which was Lake Isle,
mm-hmm.
because there was water. And the Latvians happened to be all settled around there in Lake Isle. And because it was a poor time, and everybody helped everybody else.
And
nobody had anything.
Nobody traveled too far afield, really.
And they formed a community that they all supported each other. Dad, for example, with his thrashing machine that he took from farm to farm to farm, and the farmers would come along with him, and they would do their farm, and they'd all go on to do the next farm, and that farmer would come, and they would go on to... So it seemed that because of the time in the 30s when they all landed there, when the Latvians were already there.
It was just a cooperative community.
Yeah, and
there seemed to be, I don't remember.
They had to blend. They had to get along in order to survive.
I don't remember any
survive.
Distinction between one religion, really, except like the... But they didn't travel very far afield, so Grandpa Mutznik was instrumental in
the first hall,
Lake Isle Hall.
Which was a log hall.
Log hall. And I would imagine the school was just a joint effort between community members, because they knew they needed a school for their children.
And Lake Isle would have been more the Latvian, because Darwell was more the Scottish. That was not a Latvian thing at all.
Mm-hmm. No, but
I guess most of the Latvians came there by word of mouth, likely.
And north of
Lake Isle. There was no other reason for them to settle there except word of mouth back to Latvia, I would guess.
Wasn't it kind of an enclave from Lund's place through over to Lake Isle? Huh. That was kind of where...
From Magnolia to Lake Isle was the Latvian.
Okay.
But Darwell was always the Scottish.
McDonald's.
And then when Dad fixed up the schoolhouse, we moved closer to Darwell, just at the other end of the same land. It was further west.
What kind of farming did your parents do?
Mixed.
We had cattle and sheep.
Mixed chickens, cows. That area there is what they call gray wooded soil. So it's not the best soil for agriculture. So it's more of grazing soil, really.
Yeah.
And so it was totally mixed.
Pigs.
Livestock,
some
pigs,
grains, and of course,
hay.
There was hay.
And how did they make a living in the winter then?
School bus driver. My dad was a
school
bus driver.
Also the sawmill. I remember Dad coming home, he would have a sawmill setting, perhaps maybe up around San Gudo, and he would ride horseback. I can remember him coming home in his big old buffalo wool coat in the middle of winter, because they had, shut the mill down for a while, and so he came home for a few days.
Well, actually, he had for a number of winters a contract with the Indian Affairs
Reserve.
So he sawed lumber most of the winter on the Indian Reserve.
Which was only about 4 or 5 miles from
that was.
But what he would do with the sawmill is people would bring their logs into one spot, and then he'd set out.
And then he made extra money with a threshing machine, of course, traveling around the countryside in the fall.
And sawing lumber was $10 a board foot. And thrashing grain was 10 cents a bushel. You stored potatoes and carrots and that in sand.
In the
so you had fresh vegetables.
In the dugout, basically.
We had a nice house beside the house. We had sawdust. And then in the wintertime, they would chop big blocks of ice and bring it there.
So we always had our own milk and butter.
And then it was all covered in sawdust, so that all summer long that ice slowly melted.
And there was that picture there with the net fishing on Lake Isle.
Yeah, that's right.
Not Lake Isle, Waldman Lake. So
whitefish was a big part of our diet in the wintertime as well.
And also they could sell, there's people bought
fish. They could sell it and then, we used it as a food source too. Yeah.
Didn't they used to butcher an animal and hang it in the greenery?
Yep.
They'd hang it in the greenery and then we would, or Dad would cut off pieces as...
That was a wintertime thing,
Stay frozen in the greenery for...
The fall during harvest was canning and pickling, that went on.
My mother was Scottish, so there was a good mixture of...
meat and potatoes and vegetables. She was basically...
She would can peaches and plums and pears and...
See, I never knew of any Latvian food, because even our grandmother never made anything...
No, she didn't know.
Anything that was unusual.
Meat and potatoes family.
Fish. She loved a lot of fish. She liked fish. But then in the spring, when the jackfish were spawning, they were pulled out of the streams. And my grandmother used to smoke those.
Smoked fish.
She smoked
whitefish as well.
Yeah, yeah.
She got bit by a fish one time, didn't she?
Hmm?
So
did
she get bit by a fish?
I stuck my finger in jackfish's mouth. And remember Myrna and Don McCrimmon trying to pry that stupid thing off my finger.
No, it was English. Dad spoke Latvian to Grandma. And Grandma and Dad would speak Latvian, but Grandma spoke English with us. We had English as our language in the house.
So they didn't have designs on teaching you Latvian?
None whatsoever.
Mom said she tried to get Dad to teach us Latvian, and he would say to her, "I'm Canadian now." She said that she often wished that he would have taught us how to speak Latvian.
I believe that they were embarrassed to be Latvian because of the situation. Probably they were embarrassed to be known as a Latvian more than...
I think Grandma and Grandpa probably still carried that fear from leaving their home country. And they still, I think they carried that fear, Grandma especially, all her life.
Yeah.
She was a superstitious lady. Quite a superstitious lady.
She was, Dad was adamant that that was why he wasn't going to bother teaching us Latvian, because he was Canadian. Dad, Canadian. Dad and Grandpa were landed immigrants. I don't know how that makes you a Canadian, but...
Mr. Ambrose, who was an English, I would imagine he would have been an English, he would have moved here from England.
He was a registrar, wasn't he?
And he was designated the registrar for Canadian citizenship. During the war, I believe, because his name is on Dad's registration papers.
Our grandmother always got a magazine, The America's Latvitas, it was.
Yeah, oh, I'd forgotten.
She got that magazine. And when I was in Edmonton, that's a magazine that started coming to me because of my name.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody put me on it, but I couldn't read a word of it.
Mm-hmm. I'd forgotten.
She got that magazine on a monthly basis, The America's Latvitas, I think it was.
I wonder where it was published.
In Boston.
Grandpa was a blacksmith, and I don't know what level of education he had. I remember Grandpa, he died when we were very young, and he was a very, I remember him as a very gentle, soft-spoken
But them coming person. Over young, I don't know how far in school did our father go?
Where did he even go?
Probably grade 9, I would suspect, because...
It would be in Lake Isle that he would have
He would have gone to school at Lake Isle, yes.
No.
He never talked about that. He never really talked about it.
He never talked about school.
Yeah. Yeah, he would have gone as far as the school went, which would have probably been 8 or 9.
Grade 8 or grade 9.
Yeah.
It was required. Yeah. The education was...
It's something you didn't question.
You didn't question. It was just assumed that you would be doing further education as to the best of your ability and whatever could be afforded. Mm-hmm.
So how did they fare economically, do you think?
It wasn't. It was a fairly meager existence, I would think.
Sometimes I can remember very meager. Dad worked at whatever he could to make.
Yeah, he drove school bus for years. For the municipal district of
Laksedan. And he also worked at OK Construction.
He did the lumber, the thrashing, and farming wasn't bringing in enough, so there was always, he was doing other things for it.
We were never hungry or deprived, we were always looked after.
But we didn't. Our world was small.
We always sold the cream, didn't we?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The cream was always sold every...
Chip cream.
Was it once a week on the... You took the can out to the road and the truck came back?
The can picked it up. The cream check quite
check
often bought the staples like coffee and sugar and flour.
And the bus paid for some... There was times where there wasn't much.
We always had good times.
We never went hungry because we were on the farm, but I don't think there was ever lots of money.
I distinctly remember waking up and looking out my bedroom window, and Dad had brought home a car.
A Model 4, a Ford.
Yes.
He was a Ford man all his life.
That was exciting. And he, I think it had to have been just after the war.
But didn't they make put together a Pontiac and a Durant?
Called it a Pont Durant, yeah.
He combined two cars together and made them into Pont Durant.
He was a great person with hay wire.
My dad, because the tractor ran the sawmill and the thresher, it needed to be redone every year. He never owned a torque wrench or anything like that. He would pull that tractor apart and put it back together, new pistons, new sleeves, all this stuff, and run it all winter, but he never owned tools like a mechanic would have.
Just a wrench, yeah.
He just tightened it the way it should be. But he would remanufacture the tractor once a year. Most people, if you said you were Latvian, they didn't know, like, where's that?
I didn't know where it was. I didn't recognize the name of the country. Where is that?
Have to say one of the three Baltic states, you know, Latvia, Lithuania.
Or you would say your origins were Latvian, and then you had to kind of say Russian.
Because they didn't know where
because they didn't know what Latvia or where
they'd
Latvia.
They'd say Lapland. Lapland?
Yeah. And our surname was always a source of...
How do you spell it?
How do you spell it?
It was always...
How do you pronounce it?
How do you... Yeah. How do you pronounce all through that? Your life, it's... How do you spell it? And our kids and their kids are very proud of it. Kids, our granddaughters are all determined to go there.
If you don't know the language, that's a problem. You know, you don't know the language.
Well, most of those countries, they do speak. You can find somebody. Somebody will speak English somewhere.
I've always had a curiosity of it.
I've had a curiosity.
And Latvia,
given the opportunity, I would.
Latvia, after Russia got out of the whole thing, Latvia seems to be one of the more aggressive than the other two, Lithuania, Estonia. Mm-hmm. Latvia seems to shine for some reason, like the hockey teams and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I gather from what I've seen on documentaries on TV that it's quite the younger generation especially are great for like you say, for partying, and they're very modern with it and up to date from what I've seen. So it would be interesting to go.
Dad was only 4 when he came over here, so there's not a lot that he would remember. And grandma, she never talked about it much.
Kind of miserable.
My dad died in 1985. Mom still lived on the farm.
Until 1980.
And then she died in 1997.
But in the cemetery at Darwell are our parents and both grandparents and Uncle Ed.
Yeah.
They're all in that cemetery at Darwell. He was totally Canadian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he was,
this was his land, his country. We probably would be considered first generation Canadians.
Except that our mother was my grandma, my mom's side, was born in Canada. My mom was born in Canada.
Grandpa Campbell was born in Dwyer in Lake Isle, Latvia. Yeah. Dwyer, which he talked about the Latvian in his.
I remember Mom commenting one time that she never heard Dad sing.
I don't think that he would have ever got involved, and if he could sing, that he would have.
He said, I've never heard your father sing.
He would never whistle either. He was not that kind of a guy.
I wish that we had found out more about it. Mom saying Dad should have taught us how to speak Latvian.
It was total integration.
It was total integration. And we didn't like to know more about it. I'd like to know where they came from. I'd like to see it. And I wish I had heard more about it when I was growing up, but we just didn't.
I have an urge to learn more about this society.
Yeah.
That Phil Lappin spoke of. And it meets not very far from where we live. I was not really even aware that it
was.
First and foremost, I'm Canadian. And this interests me, but I will always be, and I'm nothing else but a Canadian.
See, I came in on the tail end of all this because I was born in 1948 and everybody was gone except my grandmother, and I was 7 maybe when she died in 1955.
You weren't very old when she died.
6 or 7.
Yeah.
So I don't have a lot of history, and I'm quite interested in history. And the grandchildren are too. My grandchildren are Yeah. Right from, well, four of the, well, three of the five would go in a minute over to Latvia to see what it was about. I don't know about the other two.
The thing was that Dad was Canadian. Like you said, I'm Canadian now, and that was it.
I don't think he had the slightest urge to go to Latvia.
No,
to be honest,
he didn't. He was here, and he was not
interested.
Here,
no.
And he was, that was it. That was behind them.
They liked to travel after they retired, but they traveled this country,
Canada.
North America.
And U.S. the odd time, yeah.
Whereas my mother's family, they were Scottish, and they were constantly, they were doing Highland dancing, the bagpipes, the works, and traveling
very
back and
touch.
Forth.
But they're clannish.
So very in touch, and so we were exposed to that, and we enjoyed that. And
Dad enjoyed it
as well. Yeah. But if we had been exposed to the Latvian culture, we would have enjoyed that too. And I do feel a loss for that. I do.
What element is necessary if you're gonna hang on to something? What's the key?
Oh, well, I guess the key for us would have been that
knowing more about our background to begin with.
Yeah, knowing more about
it. What about it? Like, if they would have passed one thing on to you, what would be
the language would have been good.
The language would have been good.
That would have got you started in a lot of directions. Mm-hmm.
But even to talk about their history. Their history seemed to start when they came here. They didn't talk about their relatives or the family they left behind.
No, they didn't even mention it.
Didn't mention it or
so
what
how did
it
you feel when you started getting letters? That must have been weird.
It really was weird.
Yeah. It was almost a little scary to begin with.
Yeah.
That's because why I didn't put my name was Leonard.
Because they were still Russian. Yeah.
It was totally amazing when the Red Cross contacted us. I was fascinated by it. Mm-hmm. But you could tell that they were very controlled, and you weren't sure of what you were hearing, whether it was real or not.
Well,
they must have been talking to the Red Cross over there, I guess. And
I don't know how it happened. Young fellow had an interest in, I think he had an interest in coming here.
And music, I think, too.
But there was no way that anyone here could
help him
to do that.
It was contacted on their end, not ours. They made the contact.
Because we didn't know even who was left there. Mm-hmm. We had no idea.
Well, we don't know what family we have.
We knew that they had an aunt over there. That's all we knew. They thought. But they didn't know whether she was alive or not. They never heard a thing until the 50s. They didn't know anything. They didn't have it.
Well, they'd have come over here just after the First World War.
Just before.
Just prior to the First World War.
1913.
Then there was another World War after that.
They had absolutely no contact. You know, from the time they landed here until the Red Cross.
I was going to say, as far as contact with our father's family was not very strong. We didn't see Carl.
No, he was not close to his brothers. You would see them once in a while.
Yeah.
But we weren't. We didn't have the amount of contact with them. They didn't have a closeness that my mother's family had with each other.
And so our whole life virtually did.
It was around our
almost mother's. Around the Campbell side.
All around our mother's family. And we got together for everything.
On our dad's side, there was never a get-together.
And we never had those
never
kinds of things with Dad's family.
They didn't have the closeness.
No.
And they didn't live that far away. Carl was in Westlock. We had a lot of closeness with Uncle Ed, which was the youngest one.
He would come and visit us. We loved it when he came.
Uncle Ed was very special
to our
dad's
yeah.
youngest brother. But the other two brothers, we would see once in a while. Bernie was in San Gudo, Carl was in Westlock.
And they just didn't get together.
They didn't seem to have the need. Go ahead.
There was a lot of ill feelings between our father and Carl because of Ed, because Carl and Ed had a garage together.
Yeah.
And as far as my father was concerned, Carl ripped them off, I guess.
Had taken advantage of Ed, and
so there was a lot of bitterness there. Ernie was Ernie, I guess.
Yeah, Ernie just had his family up in San Gudo, and I don't know. They seemed to be a closed group. Once in a while, we'd see them, but
after the brother-in-laws, Mum and her sister-in-laws were more in contact.
After
the men were gone, it seemed like. My mother and Ernie's wife and Carl's wife were more in contact with each other after their husbands,
were gone. Lois Massey was my best friend.
But you wouldn't have known she was Latvian because that
was
wasn't
her uncle.
Yeah. But you
didn't know she was Latvian.
No, and it wasn't an issue.
Latvian didn't enter into the picture. They were just
friends.
There was not much designation of your origins.
The only distinction would have been between the Métis and everybody else.
Yeah,
you know, really.
Breeds.
Well, we had to go to school together, so that
was
it.
I mean, there's no really any animosity. It was just, it seemed to be a...
They were a part of our life. The Indians were a big part of our life because they used to, in the summertime, they would go past our gate every year going from Black Sand down out to Jasper to go hunting, fishing like they do.
Well, they go to the, pilgrimage at Lac Sedan. I mean, they come by wagon loads from Edson.
The old Lac Sedan trail went north of our original buildings.
Yeah.
So there was always people traveling.
And it was common to wake up and see teepee down at your gate, or on the way into Darwell, see teepees by the river. And the Indians would come up to our house. I think they were getting cream, buying
milk,
and cream.
Anything we had.
And Dad knew a lot of them because he sawed lumber on the reservation. So Mom and Dad had friends on the reservation that they would visit.
The famous statement is, we're going to give you to the Indians.
Oh, gosh, yeah. When we didn't behave ourselves, if you don't behave yourself, I'm going to give you to the Indians. And we saw them every day.
But I'm going to tie a chocolate bar around your neck because you're so bad they won't have you. Chocolate bar around your neck.
And that was a very real threat because I remember my dad standing there talking to these two great big bucks, or three, whatever it was, and him standing there and me looking up at them all. And Dad said, here, take her. She's a good little worker, you know. And I was hanging onto his leg and screaming my head off. Take her. She'll do it. And
he
got along well
with the Indians. So used to be one Indian that would come, and my dad was a hunter. Our dad was a hunter. Borrow his rifle to go hunting. And, you know, whatever they got, he trusted them totally.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
You know, whatever they got, and I'm sure it wasn't legal, maybe they left some of the venison or whatever it was.
And we also had a German neighbor who, during the Second World War, when they were confiscating arms.
Yeah, he had his guns
taken.
He had his, because they were about to take his guns away.
Max Fierst,
He left it in our father's keeping. So he would have it, he could get it back to do hunting, to... So he was obviously a trusted member of the community.
They were talking about Grandma hiding. The Indians were coming through, the natives were coming through, and she took them all into the bush and hid them. Hid the kids. They hid in the bush because the Indians were coming by
the
house.
She was afraid of them.
And she was afraid of the Indians, so she hid.
She wouldn't be afraid because she'd never seen those.
No.
Never
seen them. She would have hid. She hid in the bush.
And that's when they had the teepees. There were the wagon trains. And they even had the travelers that they're dragged behind with stuff all piled on, the dogs, the kids, the wives, and the whole tribe was heading out to the mountains for the summer, and then they come back in the fall.
They dug Seneca root because for some the Indians could find it. It was all over the place, but we didn't know what it looked like, but the Indians would dig the Seneca root.
And we had a good patch down by the end of the lane.
And we didn't know what it was, but they
did. Did you ever go to Edmonton? For
we loved going there, but we hardly ever went.
Twice a year.
It was a real adventure to go to Edmonton.
Grandma and Grandpa Campbell lived in Edmonton.
Yeah, they did.
Apparently Uncle Ed, and that there was a gravel highway between Edmonton, there was no paved highway. He rode his bike to Edmonton and back in the same day, which is 50 miles.
50 miles each way.
On a gravel road.
On a gravel road.
It's hard to believe that it's not... About 60 years ago, 70 years ago.
And they had an inside toilet.
And a milk truck, the milk wagon.
Remember when one of those letters Grandma writes, she says, tell Sandra if I could, I would move the toilet out there for her.
The apartment, you'd hear the milk wagon going down the road. They just follow by.
We went to Edmonton twice a year, usually for just before Christmas and for the Highland Games. Those were our two trips.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, they were, and it was always such a thrill to go there.
We were never too far from
Tlingit, one way in Darwell, the other from
and those were
the basics. Yeah,
the basics. And so we never were wanting.
Never
for
bought
that
lots anyway. No, it would be just some groceries, but.
But they had the grocery store at Lake Isle, and then the one at Darwell.
So you know, our trip to Edmonton was a two-hour trip because it was 25 miles an hour. And it was 2 days planning before you went.
And if there was puddles on the road, the Ford truck would quit anyway, wouldn't it?
Yeah, the engine would stop if
you
wanted
to do with.
You had a puddle that would just quit.
Oh, you just had to wait till it dried off.
Dad would get out and repair it.
He'd open it up and dry it out, and we'd go on again.
He was handy.
He was mechanical, very mechanical now.
In another time, he probably would have been a mechanic.
Know-it-all.